Hey, it's Mike Valenti. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valenti Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Computer criminal hacking case against him. Per a 27-page federal court document filed this morning, Weiss has asked a judge to dismiss counts 11 through 20, which are fraud with identification documents. Those charges could carry a sentence of 2 years on each count. Weiss was also charged with 14 counts of unauthorized access to computers in the original case 7 months ago. The motion to dismiss from Weiss's attorney David Benowitz today reads, quote, "Hacking is hacking, not identity theft. Congress has never thought otherwise. DOJ has not thought otherwise." At the Corwell Health Sports Desk, I'm Brendan Shabath. For more, go to 97.1 The Ticket or Odyssey.com.
Hello and welcome to the Carson Anderson Program. I am Doug Carson. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine. I love story time with John Jansen.
I know you do. I got into the first 5 minutes of the show asking him questions. Well, that's fine. Always looking for the payoff from that. So, and usually there is one. But how was your Monday? Anything exciting?
Not terribly exciting. You know, just watched the Red Wings when I got home. So that was fun. Watched some baseball. Weird place to be, you know, watching the team that beat you. Mm-hmm. And then that team has gone out and jumped out to a 2-0 lead, a 2-game lead over Toronto.
Yep.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, do you want to lose? Do you want the team that you lost to go on and win it so it like you feel better about your season? Like, look, we gave them a better fight than anybody else did. We came within an eyelash of advancing. Or
I've found that I've tried to adopt that in the past, and I found it wholly unsatisfying.
Yeah, I get it. That's why I'm struggling with it, because I'm not sure. You know, should I be rooting for Toronto?
Sounds good in theory.
In theory, but it's also Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, you know, the idea that the best team, you lost to the best team, in theory, I mean, it should make you feel good, but it just really doesn't.
I mean, reality is the other series is so much easier to root for somebody.
Oh, the Brewers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's go Brew Crew. And unfortunately, if you watched the game last night, the ninth inning was spectacular, but did not, just missed out on being amazing with the W. They came up a run short of tying it, but nonetheless, I'm still watching baseball playoffs, I guess, is where I'm at.
Yeah, I had the Seattle game on, and they started blowing out Toronto. Logan got a lot of TV time.
Nephew did?
Yeah, but he, because he's allowed in the dugout, and he's with the team. He's just on the taxi squad, meaning he could get called up if a player gets hurt. And but anyway, yeah, so it was cool, but it, at the end of the day, like from a Tiger perspective, you know, that coping mechanism or that it has not been as effective as I hoped it would be in the past, but whatever. And then they have the two Monday night games, which.
Yeah, I'm watching that.
Yep. I've found the first one. I mean, Buffalo, I guess, injuries. You know, you sit there and you go, what has happened to that team? And they're banged up. And the Bears get a win, which I suppose is not great for us. But all in all, I spent a lot of yesterday recovering because a trip out to the West Coast, I will say it. I mean, I get that I'm not a college student athlete, but I swear those West Coast teams are going to pay the price for all that travel. I'm done. I'm not going to say anything else about it, but I swear they're going to pay them because like Michigan State might have to do it once a year, occasionally twice. They got to do it
a few times.
Yeah, more than a few times. So, big news of today is obviously Brian Branch got suspended yesterday, as we kind of predicted here on the show that he would be suspended for a game. I'm honestly as torn on this as just about anything that we've talked about, because in that game, Brian Branch was my spirit animal when it was over. I was bitter. I personally have had enough of Kansas City. I've had enough of them getting away with taunting. I've had enough of them getting more calls than the other team. There's that UTEP study that I sent the email to you guys, that the subjective calls, the roughing the passer, for instance, you know, anything that's subjective, Kansas City has a higher rate of those calls going against their opponent than any other team in the league. What Mahomes, and so Branch, when the game's over, it wasn't just the shot he took at Juju Smith-Schuster. Mahomes went to dap him up, and he just walked right past him. He wouldn't have it. And then he goes over and takes the shot at Juju Smith-Schuster, which is getting him suspended. I had had enough. He was my spirit animal after that game. Thank you. But you can't hurt your team.
Well,
and I hate that part about it. And he's now, they got a huge game coming up next Monday, and he's going to appeal, which might mean the timing might work for him to play, but it's a repeated pattern with him. You know, the double bird at Green Bay and the quote after that game, that'll never happen again. Yeah, but stuff that hurts your team has to stop happening. But he had a legitimate gripe. And honestly, I blame the referees. You know, there was a reporter for Sports Illustrated named Andy Nesbitt. His resume does not include a stop in Detroit. He's worked for Fox Sports, For the Win, the Boston Globe, and NBC Sports. And he wrote a column in SI documenting the 7 worst calls from the Lions-Chiefs game, and they're all in favor of the Chiefs.
Completely unsolicited, huh?
Yes. And I just, you know, Branch's reputation is getting bad. He's all over the NFL's game day accountability page, which is a little known page that has everybody's fines. And there's fines handed out each week for stuff that you never hear of.
I feel like he and Joseph, both of them have bad reputations throughout the league.
And they probably,
as being dirtier players. Because Joseph's the one that, was it Stafford said, you know, you're dirty as hell, right?
Yeah, and it was the knee shot at the tight end.
Yeah. And to Higbee, I think it was. And so they've got two guys back that are both really good players, but also dirtier players. I don't know if I want to say dirty, but I would say dirtier for sure. The 13 fines for Brian Branch backs that up. Now the suspension here, you know, was an ugly incident after the game. But like I said, the crosstalk, I'd love to know what it was that set him off in terms of what was said. Simply walking past the guy, I doubt that's all it was. And I'll go, here's my chance to hit him. I think Smith-Schuster had to say something to him to get that response. And it was a quick response. It was just one quick, you know, open hand jab to the helmet. And that was it. And then he brought the hand back and he was done with it. And then the player, was it Pacheco, started to take him away from the situation, which is the right thing.
Hold on.
Hey, hold on. I'm getting there. Smith-Schuster gets up and then he defends himself after that, and then you get what you get. As a fan, as a Lions fan, you know, you see your guy get the upper hand. There's part of you that's always going to be like, yeah, go get him. But then the reality is, it's a move that's selfish, and it's completely unnecessary, and it's going to result in something that's going to hurt the team because they can't just turn an eye, you know, to something that was said or a gesture that was made and give you a fine. This was something physical. This was an altercation after the game that shouldn't have taken place. And, you know, there's only so far as a fan that you can go to support that before you're like, oh, God, yeah, dude, you're going to face the music on this one.
I mean, because Tampa's good. And he might, if he has to sit out that game, they could lose that game. They could lose that game. And if they lose that game, they're sitting there at 4-3 and they don't have one of their better players on defense. And, you know, they don't lose back-to-back games typically, but this is a huge challenge for them coming up on Monday night. Oh, people are reacting, lining up. And I will tell you, he got voted chump of the weekend. Brian Branch here in Detroit before the suspension got voted chump of the weekend. Champ and Chumper posts on our website, 971theticket.com. So I think Detroiters are torn on this. Maybe not. Those that voted him chump clearly weren't. He did get champ votes, too, yesterday. He did.
Well, it's funny how I'm looking at this now, and am I a little bit more sympathetic to him than I was a day ago after looking at a bunch of stuff that came out online with a bunch of videos
the
and
Chiefs
all the...
They're so coddled.
It's one of these things you're like, you can't do it. You can't do it. But man.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to take a shot at the Chiefs.
And Stan Campbell after the game. We've got, you know, people want to sound off on this, and there's a lot to be said. Because now they might be without one of the most critical players, self-inflicted wound in a huge game on Monday night against Tampa. Appeal is pending. So we'll wait to see what happens with the appeal. I got the college football blitz thingy coming up at 10:30. Let's get to your phone calls. Brian, you're on 97.1. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to talk to Brian Branch. I think the hit, it was, I think it was sold a little bit by Juju. It looked like a little light slap, and then he sold it. But these guys, they said something to him, fired him up. And I get you're not supposed to do it, but, I mean, it's Kansas City at the same time.
What do you mean by it's Kansas City at the same time?
Everybody hates Kansas City, and then they're getting all these cheap shots throughout the game. No penalties being called on Detroit or on Kansas City. They're fired up, and they're mad that they're going to lose that game.
Well, I said it earlier, Brian. I do think there's some responsibility and some culpability on the officials here. This is not a Detroit-centric topic, and I'm very acutely aware of trying not to be overly biased and just see things through our own prism. The whole league can't stand what's going on with the Chiefs. I mean, there are memes that have started years ago making fun of the Chiefs' relationship with the officials. It's one of the favorite Coldplay things that came out. It was Patrick Mahomes with his arm around an official and that Coldplay meme. It's just the way that the world, the NFL world, is starting to see this thing, and it's driving them crazy. Now, do the best teams commit fewer penalties because they're better? Like, you don't hold a guy that you're dominating. You hold a guy when you're getting dominated, right? So the best teams are going to get the benefit of the doubt because the worst teams are going to commit penalties trying to keep pace. But God, Monday seemed awfully over the top. And it's good to see that Detroit is getting backup on this from independent sources. Like, that was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. And when you... This is where I love the internet. You know, one of the few times that I'll say I love the internet is because they'll point out evidence that everybody else missed. And by everybody else, I just mean the blind officials on the field. The bringing it to the attention of the NFL that, hey, well, you guys say that you're not letting anybody know what's going on. You know, hey, we didn't get involved in that touchdown call. The officials just on their own gathered together for a minute and 14 seconds before dropping a flag. That's just normal. No. They're getting called out for it, and they should get called out for it. Smith-Schuster drilled Brian Branch, completely illegal hit, right in front of officials that went unnoticed. You had holding call after holding call with their offensive lineman holding Aiden Hutchinson that went unchecked. The pass to Kelsey, which he clearly didn't have, but they lined up and snapped the ball right away. Instead, well, the league is supposed to be able to buzz down and review plays, but they chose not to on that one, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a whole bunch of them that get pointed out after the fact. And, you know, when you look at the end result and it's zero penalties accepted, it's a ridiculous premise that could possibly happen in the NFL. And I get it. Calls are going to get missed from time to time. But swallowing a whistle and missing a call are two different things.
Yeah, I mean, I think Detroit is genuinely torn on this because it very well could hurt the Lions come Monday night. And Dan Campbell there said it's inexcusable, and he got voted chump of the weekend. And I think everybody understands why Brian Branch did what he did. It was retaliation for something that didn't get called in the game and other stuff. He got, taunting, and we'll get to all that coming up. Mike is next in Detroit. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
I think it was a ridiculous situation that we just went through. I see that Kansas City had no penalties the week before at all. So this week, they're not going to be any penalties at all.
What are you talking about?
That's what I'm talking about. I think the Dallas Cowboys are not America's team anymore. It's Kansas City. So if you think the 13 penalties they had last week,
That they had, I'm sorry, hold on. That they had against Jacksonville. They were called for 13 million against Jacksonville.
Yes. Yes.
And then nothing against Detroit.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing accepted against Detroit.
There were so many holding calls on our defensive line. And Brian Branch got totally cracked blocked in his back. Totally. No call.
Nope.
No call.
No.
So, as a man, you want to get your lick back, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's other ways to do it after the game.
Where you can get to your...
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Self-suspended seems like it's a selfish thing to do at that point. Just keep a receipt.
I just disagree. I disagree because when you're upset, anything can happen when a man is upset.
Yeah, it's anything can happen, but it doesn't mean it's the right thing to happen.
Men get upset all the time. I get upset all the time, and I know better than to respond. But Jack is in Pontiac and Neck. Jack, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
How's the shifting going?
So, Brian Branch, man, was getting bullied all game. He held it in. Coach Dan Campbell taught him right. He held it in, and then the Kansas City Chiefs just would not stop, right? So he had to take care of business. We have to expect that Dan Campbell coached Brian Branch right. He knows what's up. He knows not to go out there and fight with people and cause penalties and get suspended for a game. But it had to happen because Kansas City had no penalties called on them, no flags, and they bullied us all game. And Brian Branch held it in, man.
But did you hear what Dan Campbell said after the game?
I did. Well, about the no excuses part.
Yeah, he said it's unacceptable.
I agree with him on that, but man, it's unacceptable that Kansas City had no penalties called on him. Yeah, Brian Branch took it all game, and he was playing his ass off and doing the right thing. And then at the very end, Kansas City's still doing it. Juju is still doing it, and he had enough.
Yeah, well, I think that's clear. I mean, Campbell, did Campbell coach him the right way? Yes, although he did something in the end that Campbell absolutely said he did not approve of. But we'll get back to this. Got the college football blitz thingy coming up next. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, Kanks behind a glass. And usually on Wednesdays, we do the blitz thingy, the college football variety. But with Jared Goff getting pushed back to Wednesday, because in the Lions world, Wednesday is Tuesday when they have a Monday night game. So that means he talks to us on Wednesday, which is his Tuesday work week. You got it. Let's do the blitz thingy now. Heads or tails?
Tails.
He calls tails. It is a head. I will defer.
All right, Gator, are you ready?
Give me the damn ball.
All right, there, take it. Yes. Question number one. If you were Penn State AD Pat Kraft, who would be your number one target?
Urban Meyer. He's only 61 years old, a few years removed. I don't care. You know, the controversy seems to be a little bit behind him at this point. He's one of the greatest coaches that's ever coached the game, and going to a school like Penn State seems like that's a place where he could do really well right away. They always recruit well, and he's Urban Meyer. He'll be able to get plenty of transfer recruits. It'd be really interesting if he were there, and I think that's probably the standard for everybody is to try to land Urban Meyer, but nobody's done it since he left.
Pat Fitzgerald, and to me, that would be frightening. Giving that man a real program to coach up, look out. Pat Fitzgerald would be my number one target.
All right, guys. We asked a question last week about, James Franklin getting fired or moving on and Kurt Cignetti moving on maybe. Part one of mine was fire Franklin to get Cignetti. You got part one down. Now go get your man because I think he ain't staying in Indiana too long. All right, question number two, Doug. Predict where James Franklin ends up, speaking of.
All right, back at Vanderbilt. Clark Lee's the head coach there. He's got roots at UCLA. Clark leaves Vanderbilt for UCLA, and Vanderbilt and James Franklin reunite at a place that they'll be very happy just to go 7-5. James Franklin back to Vanderbilt.
Back to Vanderbilt after the coach gets poached. Clark Lee going to go, so why not go back to Vanderbilt?
Do it with some enthusiasm. I know we got James the same Franklin. Answer, but do it with enthusiasm.
I don't like that you cheat.
All right, guys.
I went first. You copied my paper.
Gotta do better, Gator.
Go back to Vanderbilt. That's where he started. They got everything going there. And, it makes all the sense in the world because I do imagine their coach is going to get poached by somebody real quick.
Just complete the full trade. Go back to Indiana. Or not back to Indiana. Go to Indiana.
That's why. The whole Cignetti thing.
Yes, the whole Cignetti thing. Just switch spots. All right? It works out for everybody. Complete the coach trade.
I don't know that Indiana loves that, but.
It's going to change places in the tunnel, that's all.
What is going on with all these early firings, guys?
I just think it's easier to fire coaches these days, given that everything's out in the open, where you're getting your finances from, boosters give you money, you got corporate sponsors that give you money, and the money is so prevalent, it's just that simple to go ahead and buy out a contract nowadays. Look, did Penn State blink an eye when they're giving up nearly $50 million? To swallow the contract of James Franklin? They're not. And they're not going to blink when they give another coach $8 to $12 million a year in a salary. I think the other thing is it's big business, right? The Big Ten is talking about a $2 billion capital agreement. This is really kind of weird. Nobody really understands. But if they're talking $2 billion, schools are getting money. The TV deals are getting bigger and bigger. They're all getting their money in some way. And I just... It just erases bad memories and bad taste in people's mouths. It's easy enough to do.
Okay, this is the third question where I'm going to bring up the name Cignetti. I think this is the Cignetti effect. Kurt Cignetti was smart. He played the cards he knew. In this new era of football, nobody's done it better. He poached Group of Five talent from James Madison and Ohio and Kent and Old Dominion. And he knew all those guys because he played many of them. He either played for them or played with them. And he goes to Indiana. He wins right now. And that's the thing it is now. Because of NIL and the transfer portal, you don't build a program. You build a season. You don't get a lot of time anymore. And if it's not working the way it's supposed to with an old school coach, you don't get a lot of time. You must adapt and win now.
You know, I've been saying forever, guys, these big-time programs and schools do not care about buyouts. Anyone can get fired at any moment because there's just way too much money in college football. They don't care about buyouts. People complain about players and NIL. Look at these coaches and the guaranteed contracts that they have and all the money that they get paid to leave the school. There's just way too much money. I hate it. It's ruined what really should be a niche sport. And now that all this money's involved... It's turned a lot of people off.
Is the greatest profession in the world to be a football coach? Because you get fired all the time and you get paid. You get paid because you were terrible at what you did. You get paid because you're great at what you did. It's amazing that they're paying somebody $50 million to walk away. The coaching profession is unbelievable.
How many big teams or Big Ten teams will make the college football playoff, and who are they?
Okay, I think something's about to happen, Right now, the SEC is getting a ton of love. They have 10 ranked teams. I think they're about to cannibalize one another, bruising resumes. And it shouldn't matter. If you play a tough schedule, you should be rewarded for it. But the reality is, it does matter. So I'm sticking with my prediction. It's going to be Oregon, Ohio State, Indiana, and I think the winner of the Michigan-Washington game. And, you know, and the thing about that is they both are going to be favored. Whoever wins that game is going to be favored in all their games right until the end. And then Washington will have to beat Oregon to get in, or Michigan will have to play the no way they beat Ohio State this year game again and win it. So I think the winner of the Michigan-Washington game gets in.
Well, there is the no way they're going to beat Ohio State game again this year, which is just how it is,
know,
right?
There's no way they're going to. Their annual no way.
It should be massive for Michigan. However, just go with chalk and assume that Ohio State wins that game. I think there's four teams. You left one of them out. Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, USC is the fourth team. I mean, USC has one loss this year. The only game they have left is against Oregon. So I think as long as they handle themselves well in that game, if it ends up being their second loss of the season, I think you're going to see four Big Ten teams get in.
I don't punch button the win over Notre Dame this week.
It's true. They do play Notre Dame this week.
So I got three. I got the ones that are currently in there right now. It's Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon. I don't think things change. I don't think anyone else jumps anybody like Washington or USC. But so I just go with chalk. I think those three are pretty good representatives of the Big Ten, though. And I like the fact that it's not. I know this is the good thing about expanding college football playoffs is you do get more teams from the conference. I know the purists don't like it, but this is the way it's going with all the money I mentioned with the previous question. All right, well, we see Nick Saban or Urban Meyer return to college football.
Yes, I think you'll see one of the two. I don't know if Nick Saban's going to go back to college football, and he is considerably older than Urban Meyer, but Urban's only 61. And I think that someone is going to just go out there and get that crazy, stupid corporate money and throw it at his feet and say, let's go, come on board. And I think it could happen as early as this offseason.
Funny that you asked this question, because the night before Michigan played Wisconsin, I was at a function standing there with some people, and in walked Urban Meyer, who immediately was called over, and somebody asked Urban Meyer, could you coach in this world? And he said, hell no. And then he proceeded to tell us that not coaching has saved him years off the end of his life, what he does with his free time, said he could never rest when he was coaching, and he's so happy to be doing what he's doing. Could it be full of poi? He could be. But in that moment in time, face to face, that's what he told me. Saban, I've had no conversations with, but he seems pretty happy. So I'm going to go no, neither of them coach again.
Yeah, I got neither guys doing it because they're used to paying players under the table, not above it. So this is a totally different world, like you mentioned, Doug, what they're used to. Saban is too old. We saw what a current 73-year-old coach is doing right now at UNC, not working well, out too well. And I know they're different coaches, but I think he's beyond the age of going back. And Urban Meyer, you just mentioned it. I think he's used to doing things illegally. And, you know, now it's all in the open, right? Allegedly. All right, last one. A columnist in Orlando is proposing UCF, University of Central Florida, becomes actually the University of Orlando. Should they actually do this?
I find this hysterical. Like, what if they did this everywhere? Because then this weekend, the University of Orlando would be taking on Morgantown University. It doesn't sound right to me. Central Florida is pretty vague. And, like, South Florida is, like, 20 miles south of Central Florida. They're kind of more east-west aligned, but anyway, it sounds very Division II to me. University of Orlando. Orlando is a national,
it's a max school,
an international destination, and so they should have called themselves University of Orlando in the first place, but at the end of the day, it sounds too D2 to me to make this change.
Yeah, I agree. I think no, it sounds so much better as UCF when you hear it. I mean, would you want, and I went the direction of the directional schools. Like, would you want Mount Pleasant University or Ypsilanti U? Or you actually would have two schools playing in Southern California. You would have UCLA, but you'd also have the University of Los Angeles instead of USC. It just sounds ridiculous when you get down to it. And you're right, Doug. The University of Orlando, it sounds like a MAC school. Mm-hmm. It's like Miami of Ohio, University of Orlando, and Toledo are all going to, you know, vie for the MAC championship. I think it's ridiculous.
So you guys make good points about the other schools, but now we're talking about Orlando and UCF here. I say yes. In fact, I say go full Disney. I want Mickey, Goofy, and Donald Duck taking recruits to the strip club. I want Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck waiting at the frat house.
Wow.
Forget the Cavender sisters. Have you met Anna and Elsa from Frozen? Yeah, go full on. University of Orlando, I'm all in.
There it is. That concludes the Wide 9 Omaha 4 down. No, this is the college NIL transfer portal blitz thingy. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We got open lines, 248-539-9797. Having some fun here on a Tuesday. Brian Branch, well, look, I think he channeled a lot of his inner fan, frustrated fan base and a frustrated player, crossed the line and smacked Juju Smith-Schuster post-game, got himself suspended. For people who don't know why he did it, there was a crackback block on him late in the game away from the ball by Juju Smith-Schuster. Looks like he came up John. Then later in the post game, looked like he was John at Brian Branch. But that wasn't the only thing that happened. But I think Detroit fans had had enough, and I think NFL fans have had enough of favorable treatment for the Chiefs. And it seems it's being documented now by people outside. It's been documented for a while. We were the latest victim. And there was a story in Sports Illustrated by a non-Detroit affiliated writer. Here are the 7 blown calls that went against the Lions in the Monday night game. People are paying attention. There's a UTEP study out there now about subjective calls go the Chiefs' way. Now, to be fair, I think the better teams don't commit as many penalties because they're not getting, the analogy I used is if you're better than the edge rusher that's rushing and you just can just block him, you don't hold him. But if you're not better than him, you hold him. So the Chiefs get the benefit of the doubt in part because the Chiefs are so good. But it's gone even further than that. An example is when Patrick Mahomes had the quarterback keeper and that little option play they ran, and he gets in the end zone, and Brian Branch is trying to hustle over and hit him before he gets to the goal line, and he's not going to make it. So Brian Branch pulls up, okay? He pulls up because Mahomes is going to score.
Doesn't need to light him up and get a penalty.
Yeah. He pulls up, and he slightly bumps him. Patrick Mahomes turns and looks at Brian Branch, spins the football at his feet, points in his face, gestures again, flexes, and runs off the field. 4 taunts. 4. That's 15, 15 more, oh. 15 more, and 15 more.
Wow.
That's a 60-yard penalty. He taunted him 4 times. Did he get flagged? No. You know, Brian Branch has shown up on the NFL's game day accountability list more than any other player this year. This will be his 4th time. One of his accountability penalties for the very random amount of $11,593 was for taunting. Okay? Mahomes taunted Branch 4 times on the touchdown when Branch pulled up and could have lit him up.
Do you think that we will see this week on the accountability list when they start handing out the fines for the week that Juju Smith-Schuster will get fined for his hit on Brian Branch that was unflagged? Because they will fine you for stuff that was unflagged.
Yes.
And do you think that Patrick Mahomes will get flagged for taunting?
I don't know.
He's not going to get flagged 4 times for the same taunt. But
no, he should. What is $11,593?
The taunting spree that he was on, as you just detailed.
It was ridiculous.
It was. No, it was. And, you know, it's a rule I thought the NFL was really enforcing this year.
They're really going out of the way. For apparently 31 teams.
They're really going out of the way to make sure that you don't do these types of things unless you're Patrick Mahomes.
The Chiefs cannot possibly be that lucky where they get the benefit of every call, every 50-50 call goes their way. Gator, you understand this. If this were a casino, they would ask them to leave. You're no longer welcome here because you're not that lucky.
Your play is too strong for
exactly.
It.
The other angle is it's rigged. Like, you know what I mean? Not like the calls being Goodell saying, like, hey, make sure the Chiefs win, but people believe things like this because of games like this, Doug. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know you hate it, but
then the week before happens, and when they get flagged 13 times for over 100 yards against Jacksonville. So is this just the law of averages?
Do you think that was the law of averages?
Overcorrection? No, I think it was ridiculous what we saw yesterday. What we didn't see, what we didn't see on Sunday night was, and there were a bunch of penalties all over the place that should have been called. I mean, the holding calls against Hutch were those were the most egregious. And this is where it's two things. It is one, the deference to the Kansas City Chiefs that the NFL is paying to. Like you can't ruffle the feathers of the Chiefs. Not allowed to do that. But two, this is also in a way more disrespect to the Lions. As good as the Lions have been over the last few years, they still don't have the respect of the league. They don't, because if they did, and a player like Aiden Hutchinson, who's as great as Aiden is, he's not getting those calls when it's blatant that he's being tugged on and dragged on. It's blatant that that happens. You know, that is it all pro-Chiefs or is some of that just anti-Lions? I think some of it's anti-Lions.
Well, I don't believe in conspiracies, Kang, but and I don't think there's any edict from on high. I just think somehow, some way, the Chiefs have charmed the striped shirts. Something about them has charmed. There's maybe a cult of celebrity when it comes to them. And I know this. I seriously think that it has something to do with Taylor Swift. I'm not joking. I think there's a cult of celebrity that they are bowing down to. And I can't.
She's not even a halftime show.
I can't figure out why, because I don't think this billion-dollar industry is doing something to risk federal prison by fixing things, okay? I just think that's this something weird to explain what is going on with that organization. And if I sound bitter, I am, and I want to defend Brian Branch, and I want to take him to task at the same time, because he might not be able to play against Tampa, and I don't want to see his team at 4-3, and they could be at 4-3, but you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it.
But you understand
but
why
I
he did.
Yeah. That you did.
Yes, yeah, right. I'm with you.
I'm so torn.
You have to be a fool to think he should be able to do this and he can do this. Of course not.
No.
But I understand why he did it.
What?
And we sound like whiny fans because we are sounding like whiny fans, but it's the whole everybody else. It's all 31
it's
other teams.
Else, too.
Yeah. I feel like we need to say this. That's not why the Lions lost, right? I mean, it didn't help them, but they
didn't lose
because of the officials.
Okay, Kelsey's catch where he trapped the ball on the ground, that came during a touchdown drive. The hold on the throw that went way over the head and it happened near the line of scrimmage, that came on a touchdown drive. Jared Goff on the play that he thinks he did it the correct way according to the rules, and we'll ask him more about it, that took a touchdown off the board. Do I think that's why they lost the game? I think if all those calls go Detroit's way, they win the games.
Oh.
I mean, and should they have all gone Detroit way? I mean, we could argue about the hold. Kelsey's a not catch. They hustled the line of scrimmage for a reason.
Yes.
The league could have buzzed it.
The league could have buzzed it, but because they were going so quickly, they did not. Then it's up to the Lions to throw the challenge flag and stop.
And in real time on the sideline, when you're not seeing what TV views see, that's really hard. And your guys upstairs aren't seeing a replay in real time either. I don't know if some stadiums, I feel like you have immediate feed, and some stadiums there's
a delay.
I would
imagine that the teams that have their video guys, they have the immediate feed, that they can go back automatically and check things if they want, because they have the replay system in place, and you have people specifically designated to view the replays.
This is one of those topics, I swear, the people that call up and praise Brian Branch for doing what he did, I'm going to be like, yep. And the people that take him to task and call him out for doing what he did, I'm going to be like, yep.
Well, for me, it's a sheepish yep to say that he should know better. Of course he should, yeah. But I like his response.
Yeah. Let's go to Paul.
Is it wrong that I like the violence?
Paul in Chesterfield, you're 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys, how are you? What a wonderful day, huh?
Oh, it is beautiful.
What would we do without sports?
This weekend we found out, kind of, everybody lost.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody.
I guess my point here, I think, first of all, I think, on the large end of things, I think Brian Branch is a class act. I really do. He did what any human being would do, okay? You know, you're going to put up with it for so long, and finally something's going to snap, okay? And whether he's in uniform or not, I get why he did it. And first of all, it wasn't a punch. It was an open-end slap, and the guy had a helmet on. So how much damage is he really going to do?
Well, it wasn't open. It was an open hand jab, I guess. I don't know if it was between a punch and a slap. I think it's, but it's open handed. But did enough damage where he was all bloodied afterwards.
Right. I think he's a lot smarter. He knew what he was going to do before he did it. Okay. We all know that. All right. But I think the point that I'm trying to make here is that whether we like it or not, okay, there's a lot of shadiness going on in the NFL that we don't know about as fans, okay? And I'm sorry to say this, okay, because it's going to sound really cheap. I think a lot of it has to do with sports betting, okay? It goes back to that fact. A lot of people aren't going to tie the two together because they don't want to look at it, because a lot of people bet on sports. But I think that has a greater amount to do with it. Now, I don't know if you can tie the two in together or not.
Well, I don't think you can on Sunday night. I mean, yeah, lines are 2.5-point underdogs, and they lost by...
I think a guy that shows up that often on the... I'll probably... I mean, just to call up and say he's a class act.
I love Brian Branch. I don't know if I would use that term to describe him, given what he did and what he has done in his career. Yeah, maybe a little bit less than classy, but I love it. I love the player.
He's got an edge. He's got an edge that probably takes him out of the class act category. But in football, it's okay to have an edge. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.